CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal.
Hello, you're listening to CJLO News. New community counseling sessions in NDG are helping people deal with climate anxiety. On January 8th, Resilience NDG, a climate action group in the borough, started their Resilience and Recognition series. The series offers time and space for people to gather, receive guidance, and share emotions about climate change. Each session is an hour and a half of sincere discussion with experienced group leaders.
Part of what's happening in the world and why it's happening is because of our own inner state. So this is something that we need to become more skilled at looking at and addressing, working through and liberating that energy. So then we can, you know, transmute that energy into energy that's useful for action.
That was Kara Johnston, who is one of these session leaders. She is an organizer at Resilience NDG. She's a learning and development specialist and former community health worker. The other session lead is Dr. Judith Gulko, a clinical psychologist and an affiliate with the Climate Psychology Alliance of North America.
It's community. We need to grieve communally and offer each other support and practical tips.
Gulko says part of the reason she started the series was she noticed a lot of anxiety among community members in NDG, but not a lot of understanding about it.
I mean, I've been hearing tremendous anxiety from various communities about this time. I haven't heard a lot of people be very articulate about that. People are sort of don't know what they don't know and don't quite even know what they're anxious about. Yeah, there's lots of anxiety. People are coming in going, my children, grandchildren are so depressed. And they're very puzzled. Why are they depressed? What are we doing wrong? Well, why aren't they depressed? It's a perfectly normal response to the world.
According to the Canadian Climate Institute, 3 out of every 4 Canadians say that climate change impacts their mental health in some way. Gulko says this is normal.
We're going to need a different skill set and a different way of having emotions in the world. We used to be like, okay, if you have a crisis, you have to manage it and hold on until it's over and then you could go back to normal. Well, there's no more normal.
The first session met online. Future sessions will be online and in person depending on the day. They are free to attend and are being promoted by the NDG Community Council. Johnston says she hopes people will come with an open mind and a willingness to share.
You know, that hopefully they'll be uplifted, right? When people hear climate emotions or, you know, that we're going to be doing this kind of work, I think certain number of people have a fear like, oh, that's going to be heavy, or that's going to be like, there's just going to be displays of emotions that are too much for me. But that's what's so wonderful about this work is that, you know, as Judith said, it provides a map that can really hold like the open-heartedness and the brokenheartedness. So that's something I sort of want people to understand.
For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes.
Insufficient act. One must yourself in time. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Tommy John Show here on CGLO 1690 AM here in Montreal. Hope everyone had an amazing weekend. What a weekend it was. Not only did we have 5 straight days of playoff football with college and the National Football League, but we also had huge storylines throughout the weekend. We have one of the great boxers of all time announcing his retirement this weekend. We'll get into that. The Canadians red hot with a huge game on Saturday. We'll get into that. And new coaches finding new homes. We will get into all of this over the next hour here on the Tommy John Show. But if you're new to the program, remember to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you name it. The Tommy John Show is on it. And please give us a follow as this page is starting to blow up. So I appreciate you guys. And content will be coming every day from those accounts. So why don't we start off, like we always do, with a quick recap of the past week. And man, what a week it was in the world of football. We had the 2 college games on Thursday and Friday. We had, what, a super wild card weekend, which concludes tonight with Minnesota and the Rams. We'll preview that game as well. But we'll start off with maybe the most surprising result of the weekend, and that was the Houston Texans 32-12 over the LA Chargers. The Chargers were favorites going into the game, trending in the right direction. All the sharks, the betting sharks, loved the Chargers. The Chargers were the pick of the year. Pick of the year. And they get off to a quick start, good opening drive, get the field goal. First play the Texans have, it's a fumble by Mechie the third, and the Chargers are in business. Golden opportunity to go up 2 scores in the blink of an eye. That Houston defense, though, is relentless, held them to 3, and it's 6-0. Still a very good start for the Chargers. They get another turnover in the second quarter, and I don't know what happened after that. Justin Herbert throws across his body 50 yards down the field. It gets picked. And that really was the turning point. He had a chance to go up 2 scores, possibly get another touchdown there. And it was a disaster. An absolute disaster after that. The Texans' offense finally started to click. C.J. Stroud looked like the rookie C.J. Stroud. And that defense, good Lord. Good Lord, weren't they incredible. That Texans front was incredible. Incredible. Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, you name it, were all over the place. Al Shaier was making plays at linebacker. They have probably the best corner in the league, Derek Stingley, 2 picks for him. And that rookie, Lassiter from Georgia on the other side, is incredible. They have some dogs on that defense. And that was the one unit that was sort of playing well all year. It was just the offense was so inept this year. The Stephon Diggs injury hurt them. Obviously, the Tank Dell injury hurt them. Joe Mixon was in and out of the lineup. That offensive line has been shambolic this year. So no one was really buying the Texans going into this game. And after the game, when they smoke a team like the Chargers, who was playing well like the Chargers, people are starting to hop back on the Texans bandwagon a little bit. And I don't know what to think of this Texans team. They're great defensively, but we have not seen consistently the offense play well. We just haven't. I'm sorry. We have seen flashes from last year, the 500-yard game from C.J. Stroud last year, that Browns wildcard performances. We've seen flashes this year of those games, but we have not seen it on a consistent basis for the Houston Texans. We just haven't. And let's be honest here. If the offense plays like they did in the second half of that ball game, just those long, drawn-out 10, 12, 14 play drives... and the defense plays like that, they're going to be very tough to beat. And they're a 7.5-point underdog at Kansas City this weekend. They could make that game ugly. They can make it close, and then anything can happen. If you get pressure, like the Texans were getting pressure on Justin Herbert Saturday against Kansas City, they're going to be in a good spot. And the weakness of this Chiefs team, it's not the tight ends. I don't want to hear it. Gray and Kelsey. I know Kelsey's been older. He'll be fine. Trust me. That won't be a concern. They got two good backs with Hunt and Pacheco. Obviously not Mahomes. The receiving core is starting to turn up a bit. The weakness is the edge of that offensive line. The two tackles for the Chiefs, that's the concerning area of the football team. Well, now you have to focus in on two of the best pass rushers in the league in Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter. So having that, I don't know what Andy Reid's going to do. A lot of chips, a lot of help, I would assume. But on the back end, good Lord, Derek Stingley and Pat Surtain are two of the best corners in football. Right now, I'm leaning Derek Stingley Jr. That's how well he is playing right now. I won't even bother throwing the ball at his direction right now. And even John Gruden, I know a controversial figure, was listening to him over the weekend. I like some of his breakdowns. He was saying, why in the world did you try to throw Derek Stingley right now? He is playing that well at corner, and it's just a problem. So let's go to the other side of the field. Oh, this Lassiter kid from Georgia is an absolute stud. So what do? It's going to be a lot of trying to run the ball with Pacheco and Hunt, slow down that pass rush, and then later on in the game try and get something going with the tight ends. That would be my assumption on what Andy Reid's going to try and do. The real question going into this game is, can C.J. Stroud replicate that second half Saturday on the road? Can he do it? If he plays well and plays like the C.J. Stroud of last year and on Saturday, then the Texans have a superb chance of going on the road and beating Kansas City, because you know the defense is going to show up. You know Joe Mixon's going to play well. The concern is, can he get the ball off on time to his skill position players, to Mechie, to Nico Collins, to Dalton Schultz? Can he get it to those guys? And can they stay ahead of the sticks? You do not want to have a third and long with that offensive line. They blocked much better, but still Khalil Mack was wreaking havoc. Bosa was getting in there. The Chargers' defense was getting home in that first half. So that is the problem. They just need to get ahead of the sticks. No third and longs. Let's have some third and twos, third and threes, where we can bring Mixon into the play. Where maybe you can bring Pierce into the play. Just open up the playbook a bit more. But it's going to be a good game. I was very impressed by Houston. Very impressed. I thought the Chargers were going to win, and most people did as well. They had that three-game winning streak going into the postseason, and the Chargers seemed like a team that had an identity that could take them far in the postseason. They play great defense, and usually they can run the ball on anyone. That Texas front was not letting anyone run the ball on them. It was crazy. That was unbelievable what their front was doing. So what happened, it was the Justin Herbert show. Let's drop back and let him throw. And that was an absolute disaster. He was 14 of 32, 242 yards, a touchdown and four picks. And 80 of those yards and the touchdown came off a third and forever touchdown to Ladd McConkey. So if you take that one away, And it was a very risky throw in the double coverage. It's desperate. It was third and forever. I understand why he did it. But still, third and forever, that touchdown's 80 yards. You take that off the stat sheet, it's like a buck 60 and four picks. And I've been a Justin Herbert defender here on the Tommy John Show. I've always been, hey, you know, he just doesn't have the weapons around him. You know, as much as I like Justin Herbert, and I think he's one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, I cannot defend what that was Saturday. That's inexcusable. Four picks, and I know one of them, the tight end, should have caught. Forget his name now. Disley, I believe his name is. He should have caught that. But still, he absolutely airmailed Ladd McConkey on the pick six. The first interception, throwing, you get the turnover, you're trying to go up two scores, and you decide to roll out to your right and throw the ball all the way across the field. That gets picked. It was just an awful, awful, awful performance from Justin Herbert. Terrible. And this is two games now. He's 0-2 in the postseason. He has that performance on Saturday, and the one before that, it wasn't just him, but they blew a 27-0 lead against the Jaguars. So, as great as a coach as Jim Harbaugh is, and they're turning that program around, they're going to have to get some skilled players. They need some wide receivers. Ladd McConkey, he'll be a great slot receiver for a long time. But Quinn Johnson stinks. I know he had the breakout game last week. Everyone's like, oh, here he is. He's back. Former first-round pick. No. He stinks. No catches. And also, one of the big plays of the game was the Chargers going for it on 4th-and-2. And the play call is an out route by Quinn Johnson, and he runs it at 1 yard. He's tackled short. Who runs a 1 yard out route with Quinn Johnson guarded by Derek Stingley Jr.? I don't understand that at all. So it was just a terrible day for the Chargers offense. The defense kept them in the game, forced a few turnovers. This is not on the defense. They gassed in the second half. This is on Justin Herbert. I don't know what happened to that offensive line that I love throughout the regular season. Absolutely love the Chargers offensive line. But let's be honest, that was an embarrassing performance by a team that I love the whole year. I thought they were turning a corner, thought there's no way they're going to Charger like Chargers years past. It's becoming a term for choking now. Are you going to Charger? I'm like, there's no way they're going to. They have a new coach in Harbaugh. They have Greg Roman, who I like as a play caller. Just a disaster. Disaster. And yes, they're going to be back next year. I think they're going to be a playoff team next year. I love Harbaugh as a coach. They're going to go out, whether they're in the T. Higgins sweepstakes or not, they throughout the draft, whatever they're going to do, they're going to address that wide receiver room and give Herbert some help. But that's just a shocking performance. Absolutely shocking. They 6-0, you're up. You had every break known to man go your way to start the game. And then they have that crazy pick by Herbert. Makes no sense. And then on that drive, they have Stroud make the miraculous play after that, score the touchdown, get the ball back, field goal, and it's 10-6 at the half after you were the better team. It was deflating. They came out flat in the second half, and the Chargers are just a choke artist of a franchise. I cannot believe it. I think he'll turn around, Harbaugh. I really do. But this was, I did not see. Sure, them losing a close game against Houston on the road, okay, that happens. But playing like that is inexcusable. It's inexcusable. You cannot play like that in a playoff game. And Herbert, if you want to be considered one of the elite quarterbacks in football, you cannot have 4 picks and under 50% completion. You just can't do that. And you have to give up on Quentin Johnson. Can this be over, please? Look at these receiving numbers. Ladd McConkey had 9 catches, 197 yards, and a touchdown, okay? After that, it goes to Will Disley with 2 catches. Tucker Fisk has 1. DJ Chark has 1. Darius Davis has 1, and that's it. So out of the 14 completions Justin Herbert had on Saturday, 9 were to the rookie Ladd McConkey. 9. Just awful, awful, awful. Congrats to the Texans, but man, the Chargers really let that one go. Really let that one go. The next game after that was Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Listen, that one was the easiest one to call. I thought the Steelers would play close and then, you know, fall away later on. From the get-go, it was that first drive from Baltimore. Went 90-something yards. That was pretty much the ball game. This Steelers offense is so horrendous. Lackluster. Pathetic. You name it. That's what this offense is. The defense, which was the strong point of the team, kept them in it a little bit. But then every time the Steelers' offense would score, it'd be followed up by a huge drive. And the one chance the Steelers had in this game, they cut the lead to 21-7. They kicked the ball away. All right, there's, 7-8 minutes left in the third quarter. They get a stop here and go down the field again and make it a one-score game going into the fourth quarter. Maybe Baltimore becomes a bit tight. No. Derrick Henry just rips off a 50-yard touchdown run. Just rips one off. And It's really scary to see what's happening in Pittsburgh because they have winning years, winning seasons every year. That is true. And a lot of teams and a lot of fan bases would take that. But they're kind of in no man's land in the NFL. They're just good enough to make the postseason, but not good enough to win any games when you get to the postseason. And you can't get a top quarterback prospect without selling the farm. There's not any elite quarterback free agents. Maybe Sam Darnold, we'll see. Aaron Rodgers, like who's out there? I don't think Darnold's going to be on the market. What, are you going to trade for J.J. McCarthy? Kick the tires on Kirk Cousins? This is where the Steelers are. They have a good enough defense from September to November to win 9-10 ball games. Then for some reason in December and January, they just fall apart under Mike Tomlin. And I'm one of the biggest Mike Tomlin fans you'll find. I think what he's done in Pittsburgh's been tremendous. There's a reason why every year they're in the postseason. But now, when it comes to January football, they just don't seem to be ready. And if you're a road playoff team trying to gain some momentum and win the football game, you usually need to get off to a fast start. And I heard a stat over the weekend is that in the last five playoff games the Steelers have played, the last five, they've been outscored in the first quarter 63-0. 63-0. The whole week they heard the stat, 56-0 in the first quarter. They have to get off to a good start. First play of the game. Drop, three and out. And then Baltimore goes right down the field, 90-yard drive. That's what happens. And it's clear that Mike Tomlin has zero faith in his offense. Literally zero. It was fourth and not even an inch and a hair. It was the shortest fourth down I've ever seen. And it's a game in which they're chasing, and he punts the ball. Punts. Sure enough, Baltimore going on score, and you're down even more now. I'm usually a Mike Tomlin guy, but it's clear that he has zero confidence in Russell Wilson and that offense. And Russ didn't play that bad. He had a few good deep balls. He hit George Pickens on a deep ball. He hit the other kid, Van Jefferson, for a deep ball. So he had some good throws in the ball game, but he's not who he used to be, and that is clear. And now the question is for the Steelers, what do? You're bringing Mike Tomlin back. Okay, you have to address this offense. You have to address this offense. The offensive line's okay, but the skill positions you have, who? George Pickens, that's it. And you have two running backs who are neither are elite. Najee Harris is okay. Warren's okay, but this team lives and dies by the defense. And some games, the offense turns up and they have a good game, but most of the time, it is an absolute unmitigated disaster on offense. And on Saturday, that's exactly what it was. Disaster. Credit Baltimore. Lamar's been fantastic. Derrick Henry's been fantastic. That defense has really, really picked it up in the last few weeks. They were getting shredded in the pass game early in the year. They've tightened things up recently. And they're going to have a great game against Buffalo on Sunday night. But inexcusable from the Steelers. I thought, you know what, we're going to get maybe their best effort of the year. Still going to lose, but they're going to play them tough. That game was over after the first Baltimore drive. Over. Who doesn't go for it? Fourth and an inch? Fourth and a hair? You don't even go for it? It's a disgrace. Absolute disgrace. That was a non-eventful game. The Bills-Broncos game, after Bo Nix hits that long touchdown on the first drive to Troy Franklin, I thought we were going to have a hell of a ball game. That was the high point for Denver. They did not score after that, and Josh Allen and the Bills took the game over. And their defense stepped up. A lot of people were making crazy statements about Buffalo, saying, oh, Denver could pick them off. Denver might win the ball game. The Bills defense isn't that good. They look pretty good on Sunday. And Josh Allen, in my opinion, is the MVP of the league. They have a great running back in James Cook. And look, it's just, Everyone was getting involved in the offense. Curtis Samuel had 3 catches for 68 yards. Shakir had 6 catches, 61 yards. Kincaid had 3 catches for nearly 50 yards. Dawson Knox, 2 catches for 40 yards. Ty Johnson, 2 catches for 26 yards. Amari Cooper had 2 grabs. Everyone was getting involved in the offense. Wait till Keon Coleman becomes more of a factor. He only had 1 catch. They are really, really versatile on offense. It's not just a Stephon Diggs show like in years past. This is an entire unit. None of these guys are going to the Hall of Fame, but they're damn good football players. Shakir's a good football player. Samuel's a good football player. Kincaid's a good football player. Dawson Knox is a good football player. And you have the MVP of the league and maybe the hottest quarterback right now in Josh Allen. In that second half, that was just perfection on how to play football. It really was. I was incredibly impressed by the Bills. Thought they were sensational. Denver was a weird matchup for them. They play good defense, and Bo Nix and Sean Payton have been on fire. That was a statement. And to do what they did against a very good Broncos defense is very impressive. That game was Just a disaster in the second half. It was a good game, close at the half. Lutz misses the kick to tie it to go into the break, and that's pretty much it. The Bills just soared after that. 10-7 at the half, 21-0 in the second half. And you get a blowout. The game I was really excited for was Green Bay and Philadelphia. Thought that was going to be a fun game. And going into it, you thought Philly might come out rusty. Jalen Hurts hasn't played in a while. He's coming off a concussion. They might get to a slow start. If the Packers started like they did last year in Dallas in the 2-7 game, we could have a ball game. On the opening kickoff, a monster hit and a fumble, and a really weird decision by the officials. I thought the Packers player clearly had possession. They rule to keep the call on the field. Philadelphia takes over. They score a touchdown after that. And really, the Packers are playing catch-up the rest of the game. And as bad as Justin Herbert was on Saturday, Jordan Love came pretty darn close. He was awful. He was really awful. And I know he's been battling injuries all year. Had the elbow injury, got hurt week 1 in Brazil against the Eagles. It's been an up and down year for him. But my God, what a terrible performance. That is really bad. By both Herbert and Jordan Love. These are guys making north of $50 million. They got huge contracts. Face of their respective franchises. Huge game on the road. People like you going into the game. Thinks the matchups work for you. And you go out and put a performance like that. Both of them should be ashamed of themselves. Both of them. Both making over $53 million. Unbelievable. And the Packers' defense, which people thought would be a concern in this game, kept them in it. It was only 10-0 at the half, and Green Bay missed a chip shot field goal. Could have been 10-3 at the half. And the defense is just keeping them in the game, keeping them in the game. And Jordan Love and the Packers' offense could do nothing. It was Josh Jacobs or bust. So the Eagles get a very good win. Jalen Hurts, listen, he didn't look right as I thought he would. I really thought he would struggle, and he did. But he started, he should be fine next week. He really should. Saquon Barkley, sensational. It was so bad for the Packers on offense that even A.J. Brown was bored. He's reading a book on the sidelines. He couldn't even watch it. Just a disaster of a performance by Jordan Love and the Packers. Disastrous. And next year, they're going to have to address a lot of things. They really do. Going into the year, they had the great win against Dallas. They should have beat San Francisco on the road. Everyone's anointing Jordan Love as the next Aaron Rodgers, the next Brett Favre. And it was just an up and down year. They smoked the bad teams, and then they were awful against the good teams. What was the good win they had this year? They beat the Texans early in the year. Really, what was their good win? The Rams in October? What was their good win? Seriously. The 49ers? When Brock Purdy didn't even play? They don't have a statement win. They lost twice to the Vikings, lost twice to the Lions. What was their big win? The Bears, when they blocked the kick? Give me a break. They went 1-5 in the division this year. And I know they won 11 games, was it? They went 11-6 this year in the regular season. But this was a disappointing year. A lot of people love the Packers. Super Bowl dark horse for a lot of people. This was a bad, bad year. And yes, they'll be back next year. It's a young team. They had some injuries to Christian Watson, and then other players get hurt during the game. I understand that. But that was an awful performance offensively. The defense kept them in the game. I had to hear, oh, Jordan Love might need to score 30 to win the ball game. No, 23 would have been enough. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. I'm very disappointed in those two players. My two biggest losers of the week are Jordan Love and Justin Herbert. And I've been a Herbert defender and a Jordan Love defender. I think they're both very good quarterbacks. But this is big spots that they were in on the weekend. And they totally vomited everywhere. Choked. You name it. That's what it was from those two quarterbacks. And we have to remember now, Jordan Love in his last six quarters in the postseason, it's been ugly. You remember the second half against San Francisco last year? Just a disaster. And they had a chance to win that game. He throws a costly pick. It was not a good game at all in the second half by Jordan Love. So this is two games in a row now. Jordan Love in the postseason has pretty much cost his team. Seriously, if you point at why the Packers lost the game, it was Jordan Love. Josh Jacobs played great. The defense played great. And yeah, you can blame LaFleur too. I thought they were going to get the tight ends more involved with Musgraves and Kraft, but they didn't. And credit the Eagles, they're going to be a very tough team to beat with Barkley and the two receivers, Smith and Brown. Dallas Goedert, that stiff arm play, we're going to be showing that for years from now. Just stiff arming the guy down the sidelines repeatedly. It was like a high schooler trying to tackle a college kid. That's what it looked like. So credit the Eagles, going to be tough to beat. They're going to get what the winner of the game tonight in Philly on Sunday. That should be a fun game. Let's see how Jalen Hurts responds. That's going to be the key. Let's see how Jalen Hurts responds. Lastly, the most exciting game of the week by far, Washington 23-20 on the road in Tampa Bay. Jayden Daniels was terrific. He was electric. I thought Baker played a very clean game until that costly fumble on the jet sweep. But in my preview of the game last week on the Tommy John Show, if you missed it, you can go back and listen to it on Instagram. I said Tampa's defense is good, but here's the but. They cannot get off the field in close games. That's what I said. They cannot get off the field. How many times yesterday on third and longs, on fourth downs, did Washington convert? And then it just broke Tampa Bay. It was insane. The amount of third downs and fourth downs Washington was picking up. And credit Dan Quinn, he was aggressive on fourth downs. And they made the stop twice on fourth downs. But still, it was countless times on third downs and at least three fourth downs when Tampa Bay needed a stop and they couldn't get it. And yes, they only gave up 23 points, which is pretty good in a playoff game. But still, it was these long, drawn-out drives. Washington had a nine-minute drive, like 16 plays at one point. It's just who Tampa Bay has been for years now under Todd Bowles. And I like Todd Bowles. I think he's a good coach, good defensive mind. But how many times are you going to get teams and offenses into third and long and fourth downs and not get off the field? It is crazy. It was crazy. It's the same thing. It reminded me of the Brady Bucks teams, too. They won the Super Bowl his first year, but then the 2 years after that, that defense was not good in big spots. That was a disaster by Tampa Bay. They should have won the game going away. They had the terrible, terrible fumble on their own, 12-yard line. Then, what is the center doing? He just snaps the ball when no one's ready. They lose 3 yards, and they can't even go for it at that point. Just these errors that you cannot have in a big ball game. And I still like Tampa Bay. I think I was huge in Atlanta going into the year. I think Tampa Bay is going to win this division next year as well. I like Baker Mayfield a lot. Mike Evans still playing at a high level. I assume they're going to try and bring Godwin back. Bucky Irving's a stud. Good offensive line. But man, they could not get off the field. Jaden Daniels is terrific. He is sensational. My one concern is that he's not the biggest guy, and he got hit a lot. That big hit in the sidelines by, I'm forgetting his name now. He was getting torched all night long. McCollum, he hit him hard. So that's my concern, is can he stay healthy? He's had the rib issues this year. But when he plays and when he's healthy, he is electric. It's like watching a Lamar Jackson, another Lamar Jackson. That's what it looks like. And he was sensational. 24 of 35, 268, 2 touchdowns, rushed for 36 yards. He was great. He was great. And it's going to be a very fun game next week on Saturday night. Washington and Tampa? Come on. That's going to be a great football game. We're going to get to a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the games throughout the weekend and also preview the big one tonight between Minnesota and Los Angeles. That's going to be a terrific game. Move to Arizona because of all the fires. That should be a fun football game. Cannot wait for that one. So we're going to get to a quick ad, and then when we come back, we will preview all of that next here on the Tommy John Show. Do not go away.
Maison presents Expo 88, a brand new 3-day music and arts festival happening at Maison in Montreal, January 23rd to the 25th, sponsored by CJLO 6090 AM. Kick things off Thursday, January 23rd, with Brad Barr of the Barr Brothers, Hank Stream, and Peter Lannan. Friday, January 24th, enjoy a night indie from The Fake Friends, Sunray Minor, and Amaryllis. Saturday afternoon, January 25th, relax with ambient soundscapes curated by Patrick, visuals by VJ Ollie, and an interactive art exhibit in the gallery. Then wrap it all up Saturday night with Frown Line, Hearts of Palm, and Fleeting Colors. Festival and individual day passes are now available. Get your tickets and more details at Maison_MTL on Instagram. Don't miss Expo 88, January 23rd to the 25th at Maison.
Dust off your boots, pour some sweet tea, and tune in to the freshest of folk, roots, indie, and more, along with some favorites of the past. The best of old and new meet together in The Alley every Friday at 11 a.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM.
Back here on the Tommy John Show. What a crazy, crazy weekend. A lot of the game, the Tampa Bay-Washington game was by far the best football game. Like, was not even close. Had drama back and forth. Both offenses and both quarterbacks were playing well. It was the same thing with Tampa Bay. Just getting teams good to play on first down defensively. We'll stop them on second down. Third and long, we need a stop, and then they just can't do it. Or third and five, third and six. Fourth down, they just couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And yes, they stopped on fourth down twice on the first one, and then they stopped them, which should have been pass interference, let's be honest. Like, that was pass interference in the end zone. Just a terrible, terrible, terrible break for Tampa Bay, fumbling at their own 12. Listen, that's the ball game. But that's a game, Detroit in Washington, where it's going to be high scoring, right? We're going to imagine Ben Johnson in that offense for Detroit. They're going to score. And Jaden Daniels against a depleted Lions defense, that's going to be entertaining to watch as well. Aaron Glenn, he passed his last test against Minnesota on Sunday night to get the one seed. Now here comes the rookie of the year. That's what's going to come down to. Tonight, Minnesota and Los Angeles in Arizona, because all the fires. We wish everyone well down there. Just a terrible situation. But what a matchup. You have Kevin O'Connell, who's my coach of the year. You have Sean McVay, Super Bowl champion, both coach with each other, both know each other inside out. The game they played early in the year on a Thursday night was tremendous. But the real thing that I want to see is Sam Darnold play well. I want to see it. I've been a fan of his for a long time. Thought he got a raw deal in New York. They did not surround him with anything. Carolina gave up on him quick. Then he was a backup behind Purdy last year. Finally gets another chance in Minnesota, and he has passed with the highest grades imaginable. A+ on everything, considering what the expectations were. They went 14-3. And statistically, he was phenomenal. Yes, he had some bad performances in the middle. He had that weird game against Jacksonville where he stunk up the joint. I understand that. And then everyone's going to talk about the game in a big spot last week for the one seed on the road. Was not that good. A 166, no touchdowns, no picks, under 50% completion. I got it. But he still threw for 4,300 yards and 35 touchdowns this year with a 102.5 rating. Like, that's sensational. And if he plays well in this game, it's going to put a lot of pressure on Minnesota for the future to keep him. And I know they drafted McCarthy. They love J.J. McCarthy. Oh, J.J. McCarthy this. And I don't mind J.J. McCarthy, but I just don't know about him. You know what you got with Sam Darnold in this offense. Will you win 14 wins? Will you get 14 wins every year? Probably not. But you're going to be a playoff team. You got an elite receiving core, good offensive line, what, a top two play caller in the league in Kevin O'Connell. And Sam Darnold, he was a third overall pick. People love Sam Darnold coming out of college from USC. People loved him. I think he's got a bigger arm than JJ. He's a good athlete. He's a bigger guy. And he's not that old. He's, what, 27, 28 years old? He was the same draft class as Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Rosen, too. Remember Josh Rosen? Oh, man. So it's interesting. You know teams are going to be calling on either one. Now, they could keep both, which is true. You franchise Sam Darnold. You just see how he plays next year as well, and then you make your decision. But he's going to be a hot commodity in free agency. He really is. Think about some of the contracts people got. Daniel Jones got 4 years, $160 million. That's what he got for winning a playoff game and leading the Giants to the postseason. What other good ones do we have? Oh, yeah. Baker Mayfield. After his good year in Tampa Bay, he signed, what, over $100 million contract with Tampa. Geno Smith had the good year in Seattle. He got over $100 million from Seattle. It's going to be at least that for Sam Darnold. He played better than all those guys did this year. And it brings up an interesting question. What could they get for J.J. McCarthy? That's the real interesting question. This is on the line tonight. If Sam Darnold stinks up the joint, they're probably going to look to McCarthy being like, hey, our two biggest games of the year, Sam Darnold, he just vomited everywhere and stunk up the joint. Cost us the game. We can't have that. Or Sam Darnold plays great, plays like how Sam Darnold played this entire season, Minnesota win a game, what do you do? I say you shop the kid. You know what you got in Sam Darnold. If he plays well tonight, Vikings win the football game. Let's say they play Philly tough next weekend and lose. There's no guarantee J.J. McCarthy's going to do that. We think he's going to be a good player. He played well in that one preseason game against the Raiders in August, but that's all we have. It's going to be a tough, tough decision. And I think they're just going to make some calls, though, if Sam Darnold plays really well tonight, wins the game, plays well next week. There's going to be chatter. Tennessee have the first overall pick. They need a quarterback. They would evaluate where would McCarthy rank against Cam Ward, Jadeur Sanders, Jackson Dart, those guys. The Raiders need a quarterback. The Browns might need a quarterback. The Giants definitely need a quarterback. Several teams need quarterbacks. And the Vikings got two. It's going to be a very, very interesting offseason for the Minnesota Vikings. And it rides on the game tonight. More than any other. Because if Sam Darnold plays well, wins the football game, even if they lose next week or the NFC Championship game, people say, oh, but he played well in that playoff game against a good Rams team and a good Rams defense. He played well. He can do it in the playoffs. If he stinks up the joint tonight, regresses, looks like the seeing ghost Sam Darnold, then people saying, yeah, you know what? The chatter will start to be, yeah, Sam Darnold. Played well, but in the big spots, he really regressed. So I think we're going to go in another direction. Telling you, this is the make or break game on if Sam Darnold will return to Minnesota. I truly believe that. If he plays well, he's their starting quarterback next year. I would bet a fair amount of money on that. If he plays well in the game tonight, they win the football game. He has that under his resume. I can play well in big playoff games. He stinks up the joint tonight. We're going to look at the two biggest games of the year, back-to-back at Detroit for the one seed and the wild card game against the Rams. If he loses both those games, stinks up the joint, I think they turn to J.J. McCarthy. I do. They got a good defense. They got an elite defensive coordinator in Brian Flores. And if he doesn't get a head coaching job, he will be back. And you have a top five coach in the league in Kevin O'Connell. So the Vikings will be back next year too. It's going to be very, very, very interesting to see how Sam Darnold plays. I have an idea on how Matt Stafford's going to play. You know Nacua's going to get open. Kyren Williams, they're going to try and run the ball. Slow down that front that Minnesota has. But it's going to be a very good football game. I'm expecting close. I think the spread was at -1. A lot of people like the Rams in this game because of the whole Sam Darnold situation. I don't know. I think it's a 50-50 game. It's going to come down late. And it's going to come down to the turnovers. And can Minnesota run the ball? Cam Akers has broke off some big runs this year. Playing against his old team, he's probably motivated. Aaron Jones, he's had his fumble issues, but he's ran the ball well. And the reason I say that is the Vikings are a much better team when their play action's humming. Last weekend, the run game was working a little bit, but then in big spots, it wasn't. And it was fully reliant on Sam Darnold, who wasn't himself. If they can run the ball well, set up the play action, get good matchups with Addison and Jefferson and Hawkinson, they're going to do some damage. And the front for LA is very good. I like Fisk a lot and Verse, the two Florida State guys. They've been terrific. If they can slow them down, then I think they're going to move the ball. And the big acquisition of the year might be getting Cam Robinson from Jacksonville. When Darashaw went down against the Rams, actually, they brought in Cam Robinson, and he has been awesome on the offensive line for the Vikings. He's really really helped things out, smooth things out, giving Sam Darnold all day to throw. He's going to get a lot of money in the offseason. Teams like the Patriots, teams maybe like Cleveland, teams like that, who need a good left tackle. They're going to give him an awful lot of money. So that's going to be a fun game tonight. Gun to my head, I'll pick Minnesota. I think Sam Darnold's going to play well. I really do. So, as it stands right now, we'll have Houston, Kansas City on Saturday, and the night games, Washington at Detroit. Then, Sunday afternoon, the winner of tonight's game at Philadelphia. And then on CBS, Sunday at 6, the big one, Baltimore at Buffalo. Just what a game. Off the top of my head, I'll go Kansas City wins a close one. Detroit, I'll pick Philly, and I'll go Buffalo-Baltimore is a 50-50 game. I just think Josh Allen will make more plays. It's going to be in Buffalo. It's going to be cold. The real key is, can Buffalo stop Derrick Henry? That's the key to the game. Can they stop him? They do, they win the game. If Derrick Henry starts running all over them, they're going to be in deep, deep trouble. They'll control the clock. They'll keep Josh Allen off the field, and they'll wear down that Buffalo defense. If they can get off the field, force Baltimore in the third and longs, second and longs, then they're going to be in a good spot. Their defense really impressed me last week. They played much better. Quickly, before our quick break, I have to address the MVP conversation, because it is leading all the airwaves, and I don't care about it. MVPs are irrelevant. Aaron Rodgers won 2 MVPs and then vomited in the playoffs, and then Lamar Jackson last year. I would give it to Josh Allen. People have been asking me all the time, MVP. I'm just going to say it. Josh Allen's the MVP of the league. We saw why yesterday. They have good players. They don't have great players on this offense. They have a good offensive line. I think James Cook's a good running back. He's not an elite running back. He's a good running back. Like Samuel, Shakir, Kincaid, they're nice players. It reminds me of those Patriot teams in the 2010s. Like Edelman, Amendola, Chris Hogan, they're good players, but they're not elite. Brandon LaFell, it's like those kind of players. Players who are NFL caliber, would start on most teams, but they're not great. And the way Josh Allen's playing right now, just carrying this team, he's my MVP. I'm sorry. Last year, Josh Allen had better numbers than Lamar, but we used the point, oh, Lamar's team's better. They won more games. He was more valuable. Give it to Lamar. Now that Lamar has the better numbers and Josh has a better record, oh, but look at the numbers. So going by what the award means, most valuable, you take this player off the team, they're, you know what, I'm giving it to Josh Allen. And the numbers, I mean, Josh Allen probably would have put up 50 points against that Patriots defense in week 18 if he played. Let's be honest. I'd give it to Josh Allen. I just had to say it out there. Lamar, it's very close. Lamar was terrific this year. And imagine if Joe Burrow made the playoffs. It would have been a very, very close race because he led every statistical category. Offensive player of the year, it's Saquon Barkley. Close second, Jamar Chase. But Saquon Barkley is the offensive player of the year. Had to get that out there before this break. People have been asking, Josh Allen's the MVP. But we are going to see both of them on the field Sunday night, game of the week in Buffalo. Cannot wait for that one. That's going to be terrific. So we're going to get to a final break, and when we come back, we will talk about Notre Dame and Ohio State, how they both got to the national championship game. It is a week from today. So we will have one more show before the national championship, but I'll just give you my quick thoughts 1 week out for the 2025 college football national championship game, Notre Dame and Ohio State. Cannot wait for that one. We're going to our quick break, and we'll come back and preview that next. I'm Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Thank you guys so much for listening.
We're Concordia Relay for Life, and we're all about bringing the community together to raise funds for the Canadian Cancer Society. You can reach out to us on Instagram at Concordia Relay and join us in fundraising. It's also a great way to stay up to date with the exciting events we have planned this year. Getting involved means funding life-saving cancer research and support services that make a difference. Interested? Once again, the Instagram is at Concordia Relay.
Join us Tuesday nights at midnight on CJLO for Floydian Slip, an hour of Pink Floyd. Craig Bailey, your host for an hour of Pink Floyd, Floydian Slip, Tuesday nights at midnight right here on 1690 AM CJLO.
Once upon a time you dressed so fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime.
Back here on the Tommy John Show. What a game we have a week from tonight. My Notre Dame Fighting Irish with a crazy win against Penn State. I was watching with a few friends of mine at a bar. That was crazy. Absolutely crazy. They were down and out, have the comeback. You think they're going to take control of the game. Penn State comes back. Then they're down 24-17. They get the crazy long touchdown. 24-24, and then with 30 seconds left, Drew Aller, who really hurt his NFL stock in that game, throws a costly interception. Notre Dame advances the ball 10 yards, kicks the game-winning field goal. They're in the national championship. That Ohio State-Texas game, and you can see on the Tommy John Show Instagram, my instant reaction, Steve Sarkisian cost the Longhorns the game. I'm sorry, the play calling at the one-yard line was asinine. It made no sense whatsoever. It's first and goal from the half-yard line. What are you doing? Run the ball to the middle four times. You tell me you can't get a yard on four plays? No, especially in the era of the tush push where the Eagles mastered it. You tell me you didn't install that in fourth and inches or situations? Just do that four times, you'll get in. Then obviously we all know what happened on second down. The pitch to the left, you lose 7 yards from the shotgun too. And then the strip sack for six the other way. And we get Ohio State Notre Dame. And as a Notre Dame fan, would I have rather Texas? Yeah, I probably would have rather Texas. But hey, we were going to have to play a great team in the national championship anyway. But we need to have a good game plan, which is can the corners cover those skill players and make Will Anderson beat us? Because our run defense is stout. I know Penn State ran the ball well against us, but still, usually it's pretty darn good. But you cannot let Jeremiah Smith and Ibuka and all those guys, Tate, beat you. You just can't do it. Let Will Howard make incredible throws to beat you. That should be the game plan. And Riley Leonard in the offense, the game plan should be don't turn the ball over. Don't turn it over. Mike Vrabel introduces the next head coach of the Patriots today, and Mike McCarthy now reported out in Dallas, which is surprising. He's not fired, just they're not going to, he's a free agent, he's going to go somewhere else. Heavily linked to the Bears and Saints job. And listen, is he the sexiest candidate? No, but he's a winning coach. His teams win football games. I think I see more Chicago in him than New Orleans, but hey, I thought Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn were going to get those jobs. But McCarthy, let's give him credit. They were not expected to do much after Dak Prescott went down, and his team fought the last few weeks. Had some good wins. They beat Washington on the road. They beat Tampa Bay. They played well down the stretch. When they easily could have folded, the team played for him, which was a good sign, and that's a sign of a good coach. I think Mike McCarthy is a good coach. I do. So let's see where he ends up. Now Dallas is an open job. Would Ben Johnson want to go there? Aaron Glenn, Brian Flores. That's an interesting twist. A job that people didn't think would come available is now open. The Dallas Cowboys. Crazy. We have to quickly give a shout-out to the Montreal Canadiens. I know they lost in a shootout on Saturday, but they're playing terrific hockey right now. Really amazing. 7-2-1 in their last 10. That's awesome. Toronto just leading the way. I know they lost two in a row, but that's a three-point lead in the Atlantic. The Bruins finally got a win. It's a miracle. The real surprise of the year is Washington. 61 points. 61 points. Tied with Vegas and Winnipeg for the best in the league. Remarkable. Great show. We'll be back next Monday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern, right here on CGLO 1690 AM, where we will preview the College National Championship and the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. My name is Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back next Monday. See you guys then.
This is Nicholas Klaus.